Today's scripture comes from Matthew 21. Make sure I say this right. Verses 1 through 11. It can be found on your pew Bibles on page 1405 through 1406. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to daughter Zion, 'See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you for reading, Rose. Let's read the story again, slowly, reflectively. You may close your eyes if you wish. There's a way of listening that opens our hearts for the Spirit-inspired word to take root. As you hear Matthew 21 in the New Revised Standard Version, notice for you what stands out. What word or phrase rises to the surface? Let's hear from God's word. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. Now a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed behind were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." People of God, the word of the Lord. And I wonder what word or phrase rose up for you. For me, it was the question that the people asked, "Who is this?" It was a question that shocked the city. His arrival was a moment that shook an entire city like an earthquake. Matthew tells us that the whole city was stirred up, a word normally reserved for tremors and violent storms. As Charles Kuzar notes, here, it is not the ground that is trembling, but the city. a city that comes face to face with its Messiah. And in the middle of this seismic moment, this seismic movement, one question rises up above the noise. Who is this? That question is the very heartbeat of Palm Sunday. It's the question of Holy Week. And it is the question that every human heart must eventually answer. Today we explore that question in four movements. Jesus the Prophet, Jesus the King, Jesus the Savior, and Jesus our Lord. But first, Jesus the Prophet. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, crowds answered the city's question with what they knew. Who is this? Well, this is Jesus, the prophet from the little town of Nazareth in the region of Galilee. They were right, but only in part. Jesus was not merely a prophet, he was the prophet, the one sent by God to speak for God. One translation of Scripture puts it beautifully. This is Jesus, the one who speaks for God from the town of Nazareth. But Matthew wants us to see even more. Jesus is both the messenger and the message. He's both prophet and prophecy. He's the fulfillment of the prophetic expectation. In these 11 verses, Matthew weaves together quotations from the Psalms, Isaiah, and Zechariah. But the one that stands out, the one that is most striking, is the one from Zechariah chapter 9. See, your king is coming, gentle and riding on a donkey. Matthew carefully shows us that Jesus fulfills this prophecy from the minor prophet of Zechariah, right down to the smallest detail, even predicting where the donkey would be found. He is the prophet who not only speaks God's word, but in his flesh, he embodies the word of the Lord. Seeing Jesus as a prophet also raises a larger question. What do world religions do with Jesus? Take Islam, for example. Islam honors Jesus as a prophet, but places Muhammad as the final and greatest messenger. The creed of the Muslims state, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Jesus is mentioned in the Quran, but not in their confession of faith. In Islam, Jesus is secondary. In Christianity, he is central. Now, it was dangerous in Jesus' day to be a prophet. In fact, it's always dangerous to speak truth to power. You can receive a violent pushback, a violent reaction. Jesus himself knew the danger prophets face, particularly in the city of Jerusalem. It was like a hornet's nest of conflict. You had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, you had the Roman soldiers, and everybody was on your case. It was the headquarters of religious authority. Jesus once lamented, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets." Yet, he went there anyway. Because of his love for humanity was far greater than any peril that the city posed. Yes, Jesus is a prophet, but he's so much more. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he receives a welcome fit for a king. And you can see king stuff all over this sanctuary right now. All the purple is a symbol of royalty, and I'm even contributing to the purple. When Jesus entered town, he received welcome fit for a king. Cloaks and branches covered the road. It was like an ancient red carpet treatment for royalty and VIPs. One author shares her observations. Not only does Jesus enter Jerusalem like a victorious king, he does so under the banner of God in order to bring about the redemption of God's people. Of course, there will be a cost to pay. He has already foretold his disciples about his impending death. But for now, that horrifying reality is pushed. It's pushed into the background as the crowds wave the palm branches and spread their garments on the road in a first century version of the ticker tape parade. Do you like that ticker tape parade? Red carpet treatment? That's what happened on Palm Sunday. The crowds longed for a king who would overthrow Rome and restore Israel's former glory, its independence. They were sick and tired of being sick and tired. They were sick and tired of Roman rule. They wanted the foreigners cast out, and the Messiah was the king that would conquer. At least that's what they hoped. Their hopes and dreams were political, nationalistic, and immediate. Now, kings love a parade, don't they? It's a public way for them to showcase their military might and provide visible evidence of their political power. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan imagined two parades happening that day, one from the east and one from the west. From the east, Jesus comes on a donkey, surrounded by peasant folk. From the west, Pontius Pilate rides on a war horse, leading the imperial cavalry. One procession proclaims the very kingdom of God. The other proclaims the power of the dominant political and military force known as empire. The collision of these two kingdoms would lead to the cross. And here I stand under the cross. It is prominent in this sanctuary, wrapped in purple, very large, with shadows in the background. It stands out, doesn't it? It's a symbol of our faith. It's central to our belief. But in its day, crucifixion was a torture device, the electric chair of its day, a tool of the Roman Empire to silence dissenting voices, to eliminate opposition. Do you oppose Caesar? This is what's going to happen to you. Do you stand against the Roman Empire? Here is your fate. The competing parades form a striking contrast. Pilate arrives with military might. Jesus arrives on a donkey, saturated with humility. Pilate rides a war horse, the military tank of its day, while Jesus rides a beast of burden, essentially a living, breathing farm tractor. Zechariah's prophecy doesn't stop at verse 9. It continues beyond to say, I will take it away. I will take away the chariots. I will remove the war horses. The battle bow will be snapped in half. He will proclaim peace unto the nations. Jesus is a king who comes not to conquer by force, but to bring peace. Charles Kuzar notes that Matthew even omits the line, triumphant and victorious is he. From his quotation of Zechariah, in order to highlight Jesus' humility, despite all the branches, despite the cloaks, despite all the hosannas, the king is unlike any other king. He is marked by meekness. It brings to mind a beautiful song that you may hear in the near future. Listen to the lyrics. Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God. Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our feet. Oh, what a mystery! Meekness and majesty, bow down to worship, for he is our God. The crowd shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David," invoking Israel's greatest king. You remember King David, don't you? The one that slayed Goliath, the one that took down the giant? Well, for the first king of Israel was Saul. But Saul did not do the way God wanted him to do. And so God replaced him with David, who would write the Psalms. He would be the shepherd king. He would be the ideal king of Israel, but certainly not the perfect king. Jesus is a greater king than David. David was a warrior king with blood on his hands. Jesus is the Prince of Peace who sheds his own blood for the world. David was not allowed by God to build the temple. Solomon did. David was a man of war. Jesus builds a kingdom of peace through sacrificial love. You know what? He's not just the king. He is the very King of Kings. And when the city asks, "Who is this?" the crowds answered, "This is Jesus." His very name, Yeshua, means the Lord saves. And the people cried out, "Hosanna," which literally means, "Save us! Save us, Jesus!" It was so redundant, right? Because they were saying, "Save us," to a person's name who was the Lord saves. They were looking for salvation from someone whose name means salvation. They wanted deliverance. They longed for liberation from Roman occupation, just as their ancestors were delivered from Egypt at Passover. But let's be honest. Their expectations, like ours sometimes, were way too small. They yearned for national rescue. Jesus came for worldwide global redemption. Thomas Long captures the tension. At one level, Herod is king. Caesar is Lord. Pilate is governor. But at another level, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is king. Jesus is Messiah. No one, absolutely no one, will take his life. He will give it freely as an offering. We confess every Sunday in the Apostles' Creed, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. In my eyes, there's no doubt that he was not a victim, but a victor. He was the victor over sin, death, and hell. He did not simply die. He died for you. He died for me. He died for us. Along the way to Jerusalem, Jesus showed the scope of his saving mission. He healed the servant of a Roman centurion, a Gentile, an outsider, an officer of the occupying army. He called Matthew, a tax collector, a turncoat, working for Rome, to be his disciple. Also on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus predicted his own death in the presence of his followers. It says in God's word, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." People of God, did Jesus allow the foreknowledge of his pain to avoid Jerusalem and to go the other way? No way. With the heart of a lion, he marched toward the city of destiny with courage. And as he entered the city on a donkey's back, the crowds acknowledged him as king. They shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Hosanna to the king. But he came as Savior, not only them, but for us. Not only us, but for the entire world. And now the question remains, who is he for me? Who is he for us? Audrey West writes, although the people of Jerusalem do not fully comprehend the significance of Jesus' arrival, the reaction is fitting. When the Messiah comes, it is an earth-quaking, earth-shaking, earth-shattering event. We too may not fully grasp everything about Jesus, but the question remains, who is this man? He is Jesus. He is our Lord. In the opening verses of Matthew 21, Jesus sends two disciples ahead with very specific but simple instructions. Untie the donkey and its colt and bring it to me. If anyone asks, say, the Lord needs them. Notice two things. Jesus calls himself Lord. He is not only the disciples' Lord, he is our Lord. In other words, he's calling the shots. He's making the commands. He's the master who gives instructions. Number two, the disciples obey without question. In fact, I challenge you to look in these 11 verses for anything that disciples say. They're sort of like one of those silent movies where they're just moving around without their lips flapping. And imagine how hard that must have been for Peter. Peter was always talking all the time, saying things to Jesus. Thomas, too, always asking questions to Jesus. But in this moment, on this day, they were people of action. They weren't talking much, but they were doing exactly what Jesus said. In the text we read, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them to do. No hesitation, no debate, just faithful action. When Jesus says jump, we say, how high? This is what it means to call Jesus Lord, not just on Sunday, but on Monday. Not just in worship, but in a daily life marked by complete devotion to him. The Spirit empowers us to follow Jesus as a disciple with humility, truth, justice, and peace. The Holy Spirit calls us to stand. Stand against pride and stand up for humility. Stand against lies and stand for the truth. Stand against all forms of injustice and stand for God's justice. Stand against violence and stand for peace. We follow the one who rode into Jerusalem. He arrived at the holy city not on a war horse, but on a humble donkey. The one at the focal point of Palm Sunday is a prophet, king, savior, and Lord. But who? If we've discovered who Jesus is, who are we in this story? And where do you fit in this story? Are you among the crowds shouting Hosanna? Are you among the citizens of the city asking all those tough questions? Or are you among the disciples, quietly obeying? Wherever you find yourself today, the Spirit invites you to go deeper into a meaningful relationship with Christ, to discover him not only as prophet, king, and savior, but also as your Lord, the Lord of your life. So finally, as Jesus arrived in the city, we arrive at our conclusion. The city asks, who is this? The devoted, adoring crowds provide an answer. This is Jesus, the prophet from the little town of Nazareth up north in Galilee. But we answer with a fuller and more complete understanding. Jesus is the prophet. He speaks God's word. Jesus is the king. He reigns in humility and peace. He's Jesus, the Savior. He gives his life for this world. He is Jesus, our Lord. He calls us to follow him. And so we join the festal procession, not just waving the palm branches, but offering him our very lives. Not just shouting Hosanna, but living as disciples. Not just asking, who is this? But answering with faith, he's Jesus, our prophet, our king, our savior, and our Lord. And all God's people together say, let's pray. Lord, you are one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we offer you our lives. Lord Jesus, you came into Jerusalem on a donkey, offering us not only your words, but your example of a life well lived, lived for God. Help us, Lord, to do the same, living with humility and living with peace. For as it says in your word, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. In Christ's name we pray, amen. At this time we rise.